their security measures
Lock Talk Radio.
Incident peak illuminate day. And firefighters battling massive wildfires in the U.S. state of California. That's the evening edition from Starcom Network News.
Pleasant good evening to you and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados 92.9 FM. You can call us at 3 champions in T20, they were beaten in Florida. Well. And against the Bangladesh side, we'll certainly be doing an assessment of the T20 games they played. They played 3 games and they lost 2 in terms of the test series. Well, it was a very good performance by the West Indies in the 2 test matches they played. They won comprehensive. But you know what? When they played in the 50-over competition, the ODIs, they played 3 games. They lost 1. And in fact, they lost 2 games and they only won 1. So when you look at that record, we've got to ask the question, is that a good record at all for the West Indies against Bangladesh? Of course, we're going to be going around the region. We're going to get some reaction from our friends in Antigua. We're going to start in Antigua with Sir Curtly Ambrose, who's already in the line. We hope to speak to Bernard Mamcham, the noted journalist there in Trinidad and Tobago, who's actually in Florida covering the matches. And we also want to touch base with a couple of other journalists and cricketers around the region. So, in Test cricket, the West Indies did well. In the ODIs, well, they lost. And the T20s, they lost as well. Without any further ado, let's go to Antigua and talk to the great man, Sir Curtly Ambrose. Hello, Sir Curtly, how are you?
I'm good, Beast Mason.
I am good. Are you well? How is good old Antigua?
Well, just winding down for Carnival. Today's the last day of Carnival. So I am burned out, very tired, but it was good fun.
Well, I didn't know you jumped so curtly. They told me that you were in your bed as early as 4 and 5 o'clock. You go to sleep with the foul cocks, curtly.
You mean 4 or 5 a.m.?
Yeah, interesting, because our big thing, Dr. Ford is with us. He's a big he's a big Carnival man. The Kadumut was there, but in Antigua, you have 2 days of jumping? Is it 2 days you have?
That's correct. Monday and Tuesday, that's correct.
Oh, I see.
But,
well,
the whole Carnival season is about 10 days or so.
Oh, 10 days. I think Barbados would last maybe about a month or so, really, or maybe even more.
Okay.
So it was good for you. Now let's talk about another Carnival, the West Indies. How do you assess this, Sir Curtly, in terms of the test matches they won comprehensively? But in the shorter version, in the T20s, they lost, and the West Indies also lost in the ODIs. How do you assess that, Sir Curtly?
Well, first of all, I thought that they played extremely well in the 2 test matches, which they won comprehensively, and Bangladesh were never really in the series. Like I said before on your program, that the 2 test matches I saw, the Bangladeshis looked shell-shocked. They looked they were scared. They didn't cope well with the pace of Gabriel and company. And they were really all at sea and were blown away in the 10 matches. They never competed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ODIs and the T20s, I expected them to do a little better. Because if you look at the history, they're not a bad team in terms of ODIs and T20s. But I never expected them to beat West Indies in both forms. So it was really shocking me to see that West Indies lost to them in both ODIs and T20s.
Indeed. Let's do an assessment, first of all, of the test matches. I thought the West Indies currently went in with lots of aggression. There's no doubt about that. Of course, there's this view that once you play T20, that you should prepare pitches that batsmen score as many runs as possible in ODI. I thought that perhaps we lacked that aggression in relation to the T20 and certainly in terms of the 50 over. Because I even thought that even when it came to the last match, when they played the decider in St. Kitts, they might have even had the option of even bringing in someone like a Shannon Gabriel, produce a pitch with a bit of grass. But that defensive mold that they had in the final analysis, they lost in the T20s. So what you saw, in my view, in terms of the test matches, a lot of aggression. But then, of course, nowadays, it seems as if T20s and 50 overs, they're made for the batsmen.
Well, yes, ODIs and T20s are tailor-made for batsmen because, according to all the cricket pundits, they want to see runs scored. I mean, the boundaries are reduced, they're smaller, and all that stuff, which to me is unfair because cricket should always be a fair contest between bat and ball. But that's the way it is now. Now, you mentioned about aggression, and I have to agree with you, Andrew, that we were very, very aggressive in the test matches, and it paid dividends. No, we go to ODIs and T20, and we weren't as aggressive. Now, one of the things I've always told the guys when I was with the team, it doesn't matter what form of cricket you're playing, you've got to stay aggressive. It is still cricket. It may be a shorter form, but the aggression should never be lacking. It always be aggressive, even ODIs and T20s, and that's what Fabio missing.
I certainly agree with that. And certainly, I think someone like a Shannon Gabriel should have featured, in my view, having done so very well in the test matches, at least in one of the 50-over games that decided there in St. Kitts. But he didn't play. And, you know, the bowling same little medium paces. Now, let's look at, we're supposed to be good at the T20. We went to Florida and we lost both matches. Did that surprise you, Sir Kirtley?
It certainly did. It certainly did. I mean, if you cast our mind back, I think it was last year when we played against India.
Right.
We had a couple of games. Well, I mean, we won the first T20 and the second one was rained out. We beat India. So we have a little bit of history in Florida. And of course, we are where we should be, very strong in the T20 format. So I had no... I just assume and believe that we would have taken out Bangladesh quite easily in the T20s because we're supposed to be very strong. We had a few of our big guns back as well in the lineup. Mm-hmm. So we were basically at full strength. So I was very, very surprised and disappointed that we lost the T20s.
There has been a great deal of debate about the dropping of Evan Lewis. He didn't perform well in the first two matches. In fact, we've got the stats here. In the two matches, in fact, how many runs did he make? Let's see. He just made 3 runs, actually. Yes, I had to put my glasses on there, Sir Kirtley. And he was dropped from the side. And I know the commentators, the Bishop and company, they were suggesting perhaps he should have been kept into the side. And maybe Badry, who is, to me, on the decline. Were you surprised that Evan Lewis was dropped from that team?
Yes, I was. Because, I mean, yes, he didn't score any runs at all, but at the same time, we know what he's capable of, 1 and 2. You need to give these guys a little chance. I mean, playing 2 games and not scoring any runs doesn't mean that you're all washed up or you're over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give these guys a chance to grow and then that builds some confidence. You keep dropping these guys in and out every 2 games,
right,
will destroy their confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that, you know, he's a player of the game as well. So I wouldn't be surprised he was dropped.
Hi, good night, Sir Kirtley.
Good night, Joe.
Yes, fine. Looking at the, I know we batted badly, but looking at our bowling efforts, I think this squad lacks a strike bowler, and I think that's one of the problems that we had. What's your view on that?
Sorry, say that again. I didn't get that.
We lack a strike bowler in the team, someone that could come in and get a breakthrough when we need it.
Yes, I agree, and I mean, I just couldn't quite understand why. Because if you go back to test match, I hate to go back to test matches, but it has to. What one of those games is, apart from the skills of the bowlers, the aggression, the Bangladesh players doesn't like aggressive bowling. So that should have been, foremost in our mind. Be aggressive. you keep playing these meter paces, they can't really be aggressive because they don't have enough pace. So at least one or two about quicker bowlers should have been in the lineup, not only to be aggressive at them to make them uncomfortable, but as strike bowlers, pick up a couple of wickets as well when necessary.
Hi, good night, Sir Curly. How are you doing? Kirsten Bavel there.
Good night, I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah, apart from the fact, yes, that we needed not only one strike bowler, I thought we needed at least two.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we look at short form cricket, as soon as you take wickets, you tend to push the team back and they tend to want to consolidate a bit. The strike rate goes down and you bring into play some dot balls. But I also believe that when I look at the West Indies batting lineup, everyone's an opposing captain. I wouldn't worry too much about it. I wouldn't lose any sleep over it.
Mm.
You know, because I'm not seeing in the lineup anyone that would worry me apart from perhaps Andrea Russell. And he comes down the order. I mean, Robin Paul, yes, has he's a pretty good striker of the ball. But I think that if you look at this team, it is not the real West Indies T20 team that were the champions in recent times. It's really a team that you're trying to give players a chance to see who would come to the fore. So there's a lot of experimentation in terms of the batting lineup. And I think that's one of the areas where we would have fallen down. Now, because of that, players are trying to perform for their play. And they're a bit tentative. They're not rotating the strike. I think we fell down in that area significantly because, they're as you had alluded to earlier, they're doing dot balls. You just can't have a situation where you're soaking up 25 dot balls in the first 10 overs of a three-turn. That's not something that is permitted in that format of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I believe we have to look at is the inconsistency in terms of the players lower down in terms of their ability with the bat. Certainly, you want more production from Carlos Braffitt and Ashley Nurse coming down the order at that critical position, 8 and 9 and so on. You need production there. And if you're not getting it there, because that short form cricket, especially T20, you have to take chances at the top. You can lose wickets, you retrieve in the middle, and you want those batsmen who are coming in. But once you're with a bat, you are a batsman. Once you walk out with a bat, you are a batsman. You need the 8 and 9 to come in and give you at least 30, 40 runs consistently.
I totally agree with you. And to go back, we are very inconsistent. And that has been plaguing us for a number of years. We'll come out, play one or two good games, look a world-class team, and then finish 3, 4, 5, 6 days, we look very, very ordinary. So the inconsistency is killing us. And I agree with you with a dot ball. Because I've said before in the program, I'm a man of cap. I love to have my cap.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was with the team, that's one of the things I pointed out to the guys every single game. I show them this call we make and how many dot balls, right? And sometimes they look at the score sheet. We may score on them 70, and we have 60 dot balls. That's half of the 10 overs, you understand? So keep saying to them, if we can only get even a single or 40 of those 60 dot balls, we could easily score 200 on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
But if some of the guys that could say, man, coach, you know, we are power-hitting team and all that stuff. So I said to them, well, if you're a power-hitting team and they can't score the boundaries, what are you going to do? Soak up that ball? So we always have an argument with that because I believe that taking strike and keep the things and tools going, when the boundaries come, it will make things a lot easier. So I used to get real frustrated. Well, not frustrated, but I used to get real angry with these guys and let them know how I feel about this nonsense, about their power hitting team. So singles and tools don't really matter. That is ridiculous. So I agree with you, tools are not balls.
Well, so currently we've used that method now throughout the, you know, our entire T20 history. It's obviously not going to change. But we definitely had a batting failure with only Russell with 99 runs and Robin Paul with 81 runs having, a decent series. You can contrast that with the Bangladeshi team who had four players that contributed, Mahmudullah, Shakib Al-Hussein. Tamim Iqbal, as well as Das. So, I mean, they had a lot more contributions than we did. But when you look at the construct of the team as well. We're playing three wicket keepers when we only need one.
Mm.
And I don't think the three wicket keepers are good enough that we need all three. We have Walton, Fletcher, and Ramdin. When you look at the stats for the three gentlemen, Fletcher, 42 matches, averaging 21.25. Then after him comes Ramdin, 65 matches, averaging 18.47. And Walton, 19 matches, averaging 13. So you can see Walton is the weakest of them statistically.
Of the three.
And even if you look at Puran, who's now coming along, he's only averaging 16. So I think that I would assume that this plethora of keepers is to for us to decide who is the keeper we're going to keep.
Yes.
But you know, we have a batting failure, and the point that Pearson made is so important. If you are going to use this method of soaking up dot balls, then 5, 6, 7, and 8 have to be power players. And when you look at the team, we only have Russell, and he may not come off because his method has become more agricultural with time. And then also, maybe after him, the captain hasn't had a significant batting effort since the last World Cup, and his position must be in jeopardy. And there's really no other power except for Powell there. So this T20 batting lineup needs a big rejig.
Yes, I totally agree. Because when you look at other teams, T20 teams around the globe, you realize hasn't really got all these big power hitters enough. They may have a couple, but these guys who can bat, play conventional cricket shots, and go as quickly as anybody else. So we as Westerners have to change our mentality about power hitters. It is not going to work. It hasn't worked for us for quite a while, and we can't rely on that every single game. We can still play proper cricket shots and score quickly and stop soak up so many dead balls. You can't get the boundaries. You look for ones and twos. I just understand it from a bowler's perspective. If every delivery a bowler bowls and you keep getting ones and twos, that will frustrate the hell out of him as if he hit one boundary. If he hit a bowler for a boundary, he readily understands, okay, maybe overpitch or too short or whatever. He makes the adjustment. But when you bowl good delivery and expect to be a dot ball, and the batsman keep nicking you off one, two. If it's easy to get 8, 9, 10 miles in the over, including a boundary. And that is frustrating to any bowler. But when you keep soaking up that ball, for instance, if I hit a boundary, the first ball of the over, and then the next five ball, a dot ball, don't tell me it's a good over. If it's score 4 or 6, that's a poor over, really. So we need to get away from that mentality.
Indeed. What about Carlos Brassett, though? I mean, ever since those big sixes to win it for the West Indies against England. I mean, a couple of years ago, he's been below par. In fact, in the three matches, just 16 runs. And in terms of his bowling, 11 overs, 82 runs, picked up 2 wickets. And the conversion rate of 7.45. Best of 2 for 32. Is he on the decline? Are you worried about Carlos Brassett currently?
I wouldn't want to go on the decline. Because he's a pretty young man.
Okay.
But what I'm saying with him, I don't know if the expectation after 4 sixes in the World Cup final, did he handle that well still? Probably not. I mean, we all expect him to go and do the same thing every game, which is impossible. But he has to be a little more consistent. He's a captain. He had to lead from the front. And he needs to contribute. He's an all-rounder. So he needs to continue to both bat and ball. I'm just wondering if it's too much pressure for him since that World Cup 4-16. He hasn't done anything since, really.
Currently, I believe...
So I am just kind of worried about that.
I believe that. I don't think the public is putting pressure on Carlos Brassett. No. I think Carlos Brassett is putting pressure on himself. He has to realize that he can bat. And he needs to build an innings, even though it's T20. It is not only about bashing and walloping the ball. I think that is where the problem comes, because Carlos Brassett can bat. If you remember his batting in the Test series against Australia, he batted.
Of course he can bat.
And he has to get into his mind that he is first and foremost a batsman who can hit the ball,
right,
rather than a hitter who can bat.
Right. Interesting. Mm-hmm. You agree with that, Sir Kirtley?
I agree. Because, I mean, that's something that we spoke about when I was with the team. Even with his bowling, he tend to, well, he said himself that he's a stump bowler and hold up one end,
mm-hmm,
and keep it nice and tidy, and the other bowlers take wicket. And I have to say to him, no, you're not in the team as a stump bowler. When you get the ball in your hand, you are a front-line bowler. You got to take wicket. You understand? So that's something that him and I spoke about on many occasions. You have to think about taking wicket. Because if other guys are not taking wicket, and you're not taking wicket, you'll be the people for 4 weeks. You understand? So you got to think, taking wicket. And I totally agree, he can back. He made a couple of 50s in Australia, you know, a couple of years ago when he was down there. So he can back. So I quite agree, he needs to take all this pressure off himself and try to wallop every ball he sees. It doesn't work like that.
So currently, I certainly agree with you. In fact, when you look at the wicket that he took, one of the wickets that he took in the last match, it was a very good delivery, short of a length. The batsman was tailed towards square leg. The edge was strong. The keeper took the catch. That delivery was a delivery that had a lot of aggression about it. And I agree with you. I remember the days when Carlos Baffett played in Barbados. He was a ball shark. I know Carlos Baffett playing local cricket, bowled at pretty close to 90 miles an hour. But it seems to me now as if he just is happy to just run in and bowl like Lance Gibbs nowadays. I mean, I think he got better than that. I mean, I'm being very serious. I mean, a big, strong man bowl fast. You know, I mean, I don't know why is it that he believes he should come in and bowl medium pace.
And that is something that we've spoken about many times here, because I knew that, I know these guys, I've seen them, so I know he can bowl much quicker than he is. But like I said, he's telling himself, I'm the top bowler. But you need to get away from that.
But you
that
have to
work.
You have to give the Bangladeshis some, you know, some credit though of what they did to Badre, because Badre is a guy who usually gets through his overs early and economically and gets breakthroughs.
Mm.
Badre did not complete his 12 overs. Badre bowled 8 overs in 3 matches.
Yes.
And he took a beating. He didn't even get a wicket. So and he isn't a guy that you can bring back late. He's a guy that usually finishes quite early or somewhere
that's
in the middle.
Yeah, he
so
straight through.
So they
and he went at 9 and he went at 9 for over 2.
Yeah.
But they gotta give the some credit.
Yeah.
They seem to be a little more comfortable with the ODIs and T20s.
Right.
But at the same time, I would still maintain that if you were a bit more aggressive against them, it would have been a different ball game.
Well, Sir Kirtley, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. By the way, how was your stint? You had a short stint there with the side. I know you you were in Guyana. How long did that stint last for?
No, I was in Jamaica.
Oh, Jamaica. Okay.
Yeah, during the second test match, myself and Graham West were preparing the guys for the ODI. The guys who were not playing in the test match,
mm-hmm,
we were preparing them for the ODI.
Right.
You know, so yeah, we spent a week down there with them, trying to get them going. Ashley Nurse and Rodman Powell and Evan Lewis and a couple others.
Right.
So it was pretty good. Like I say, I enjoy coaching. I enjoy working with you guys. And anytime, you know, I'm asked to do so, I'd be more than happy to do it. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it and just thought that we didn't come out winners.
All right. Well, Sir Kirtley, thanks very much. And you're not as young as you used to be, so you're going to take about 3 or 4 days to recover after Carnival in Antigua.
More like a week.
All right, Sir Kirtley, have a good evening.
Okay.
Right. Okay. 4241790, you can call us and get very much involved in the program. We're certainly doing an assessment of the West Indies Bangla series. But, of course, we've got a pause for business calls.
The greatest cricketer on earth, or Mars. Anyone can tell you it's the great Sogavin Sobers. This handsome Barbadian lad really knows his work. Batting up
bowling, he's the cricket king. No joke, three chances for Captain Sobers. Win or lose, the spectators are wrong ways, please. With the greatest team on earth, who else?
Welcome you, Mr. Mason and guest. Hello, welcome.
Mr. Mason.
How are you?
I'm not too bad, yourself?
Well, I haven't heard you in a long time.
Well, I always let the experts, you know, do this thing. I
well, you're an expert, caller.
Really?
How are you, my friend?
I'm not too bad. Yourself? Yeah, I think you're okay.
Yes, I'm trying my best.
Listen, we can have a lot of excuses now for losing, for losing the one days and the T20s.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with the team. The physical capacity of the team has nothing to do with it. These guys are beat Bangladesh every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is mental attitude. This is what has been beating the West Indies for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was at school, the coach of our first division football team always said, it takes more than 2 feet to win a football game.
Mm-hmm.
You have to bring something else into play. How you control your actions when you have to make decisions. I believe in this last match here, Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Russell had using a bit more discretion, trying to say, hey, every ball in park doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you're putting yourself on the line. You could have picked your shot and get me runs. But I find really that something all the senior batsmen seems more to be driven by I don't know if it's just show business or that they don't have this attitude, they don't care what. But I am convinced that is the mental attitude of what this team can beat Bangladesh any time. They have the capacity to do it. They have all the bats and the balls they need. They don't have to be anybody else. But it's the mental attitude. I don't know if it is the coaching. I don't know if it's just a personal attitude. You know, the money, they're just interested in money and nothing else. But I get the impression sometimes that they're not team-oriented. They're not team-oriented, and they're not looking the main glory to the West Indies about themselves. And I'm sorry I have to say this, but attitude of some players, you know, if I make, well, they make, right now I make, right, they can get paid. It's the mental attitude, Mr. Mason.
Right.
And if you watch World Cup football, as they do,
right,
you will see the same thing. Whenever you have teams with skills, they have all the football skills, they can dribble up for a week and so on. But playing comes when they have to make a decision. They have to pass the ball or do something, and they make the wrong decision, and the team will lose because of it. It's the mental attitude, and it plays to cricket as well as the football. All the teams that came into the World Cup football that had this year doing all the tattooing and all the football skills get knocked out early because it takes more than 2 feet. You have to apply some form of mental discipline to what you're doing, and when it's your turn to act, you have to do the right thing, whether it's kicking the ball or batting or bowling.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that I find is lacking in the West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
I know people might not agree with me, but I am convinced that the attitude of our players is what really defeats them. They don't have that mental strength or focus that they should have sometimes. And that is what we, not only physical capacity, we can beat anything that players just took it now. If people don't mind, they are, or they at least can put a good play. But when we lose that mental focus, anything can beat us on the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming through and talking to us. I think it's a very good point you're making. The other thing before we just go to the telephones again is that we also need to look a little fitter. I'm not quite sure that we look as fit as we should. Seems as if some guys have got some Christmas fat on. I was a little bit disappointed with what I saw with some of the cricketers. They've got to get fit, keep fit and trim. Let's go and take a call. Hello, welcome, Mr. Guest.
Hello, good evening to the best Mason.
How are you, my friend?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yes. I just want to make one or two points, if you would allow me.
Sure.
The first one, I don't know if you remember, some time ago there was a benefit match where Gordon Greenidge and Desmond Haynes came back to
Right.
And in that particular match, Desmond said that he had never faced the first ball.
Mm-hmm.
That Gordon would allow him to ever face the first ball.
Right,
but together with the English cricketers, and they conspired to let Desmond face the first ball. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember. Right, right.
But what you saw after that was tip and run.
Tip and run.
They told them had the understanding how they were able to push the ball and run. Basically, these cricketers have to get back to that. But right now, we are laden with a 37-year-old at the top, that even if you have to try to get chip and run on a constant basis, you're not going to get any much over that. So you got to structure your T20 and your one day around somebody who is leaden-footed, who can't run but who won't hit these.
So caller, are you saying he wouldn't take Gale?
No. I'm saying that we have to structure. And
but you're saying they were laden, so I was a little bit.
But we cannot. You see, we're going to get the runs. We could get the runs out of him.
Right.
To make up for the athleticism.
Well, let me be direct, Carl. I'm going to ask you this question: would you play Gale going forward?
I have to, because he's still giving us runs.
Okay.
But you're going to play Shea Hope now. Who's going to come in one down or two down?
Right.
Play with Gale, and Shea Hope is going to be soaking up a lot of runs because he cannot tip around with Gale.
Right.
I don't know if you realize that is the problem.
Mm.
Put somebody, a younger person of Shea Hope,
right,
he would be able to tip and run.
Right.
But he can't tip and run with Gale.
No.
Caller.
Fours and sixes.
Caller, let me just ask a question. But does he tip around with the other players? Mm-hmm. No, be honest. Does Shea Hope, Gale is dismissed early. Shea Hope comes in the back. He's still not tipping the runner in the other. I think he has a problem in trying to rotate the strike. Just a second.
The coaches have solved that problem.
Hold on, just a second.
Shea Hope has had that problem for the last year or two.
Right.
The coaches have not solved the problem, so we got a coaching problem there. Mr. Gibson.
Well, sometimes I think that the players have to take it the onus on themselves to also look at their techniques. And his technique is best suited for the longer version of the game. In the short form, he is able to play good cricket in shots and score. Mm. But in terms of his wrist, I think the wrist position and using the wrist to rotate the ball.
Right.
He plays with a very tight wrist, you see. So that flexibility of wrist, which the Asian players display, is where he has a deficiency. But he's a good player. It does not take away from it.
The coaches have to bring something to the table too.
Right.
Mm. Coaches that have an idea should have said, play like this person or that person and show him how to do it.
Cole, I got a question for you. Do you think Carlos Brassett should captain the T20?
Well, I want to get to that issue right now.
Yes. Please do. Let's get the show hot.
Yes. Instead, you're going to put a medium pacer to be a captain.
Really?
You're going to run into problems with that. Because initially, we had that same problem with Jason too, you know. You're going to put a medium pacer now who may or may not be able to make the side.
So you're saying the medium pacer can't captain the side?
You had a problem with Sammy too?
Yeah.
So you're always going to get a problem. And we're not learning.
Okay.
But on the other hand, who are the top six that you can lead in with that responsibility of being a captain?
You like that word laden though, you like that word,
yeah. But he's captain right now.
He's captain right now, right,
caller? And one of the things that we'll
Personally, I have the question for you, though.
Right, just let me make this comment with Charles Braffett. He's captain right now. One of the things I want to see Charles Braffett improve on once he's captain my West Indies team and representing me is to come to post-match press conferences or post-inning conferences or interviews dress properly and not with a vest shirt. Come on. I'm calling him on that. No, it doesn't look right.
Dr. Ford, you think that's a good point?
I missed that interview, but certainly he does have other choices.
not one interview. He did it on two consecutive interviews.
Yeah, maybe he has good arms.
it doesn't look right. It's the only test team I've seen where the captain is doing it.
Yeah, but everybody else had on the same outfit. So I don't know if that was standard thing, though, by the way they have the...
But they have other shirts, caller.
All of them were dressed like that.
Okay, fair enough.
So I don't think it's a standard thing that they got gear for that particular after game. But yes, it's a good point. But he speaks well.
Right.
And he speaks intelligently.
Right.
And I believe he got the job because he speaks well.
Right.
That's not a good criteria.
All right, caller. Well, thanks for your contribution. We got some calls backing up. Of course, we're going to make those connections as well. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good evening, Mr. Mason and your guests.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
Yeah, I want to make a contribution regards the last series we played. I think we did not put enough thought into our game. That's
okay.
The first thing.
Uh-huh.
You could see that Bangladesh had done their homework. They
right.
thought of what they were going to do
mm-hmm.
and what other things they could do if plan A didn't work, what plan B was. We lacked that thought. I often wonder if we have anybody who sits with the team and if they plan, if they make plans,
mm-hmm.
and if these plans just get thrown out as soon as they get on the field.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the bowlers.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the batsmen. I haven't heard anybody talk about Marlon Samuels.
Right.
He isn't really contributing anything in the team. Mm. And if we are looking to a World Cup, we should be looking to people who are going to be fit and can do what they've chosen to do.
Well, we're calling the three matches 38 runs, best of 26. He averaged 12.66.
That's ridiculous for a batsman of his caliber, in inverted commas.
Mm.
Mm. Going on what happened in other matches way back years back,
mm-hmm.
but we've got to move on. He cannot bowl. What is he doing?
Mm.
He has knees that are giving trouble,
yeah.
and he does not even feel well anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we keeping him?
Mm.
And we're there crucifying some of the younger players,
I see.
And nobody has touched on him. We need to use our head. Our team needs to use the head,
mm-hmm.
and we don't see any thought. I watched the matches, and I could have seen that Bangladesh had done their homework on us.
Right.
Did we do our homework on them? I don't think so.
Mm.
At least nothing was being shown that had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to understand that we have to look for a team,
mm-hmm.
stick with that group of people, and keep playing them together, give
mm.
them the opportunity, but we should see results. But we do too much chopping and changing,
mm.
and it seems as though it's a clique and a club, and the same old comes back, and it's drawing our cricket.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go to cricket all the time, and now I don't even feel like going anymore.
We want you back.
Carla, when last you went to Kenton to watch a match?
I have not gone. I told you, I used to watch cricket from the time I was like 14, 15, and Test cricket
right.
never missed me. Those
mm.
days we used to have half day or whole day for cricket for
right.
school.
Well, England are coming next year, Carly. Got a long time. We got about just over six months to plan. So we hope to have you at the region's Mecca.
I
understand Barbados will be having the first test in the first 2-1 days.
There's nothing to shout about. Why go?
Oh.
We need to plan. We need what are our coaches being paid for?
Mm.
What is management doing? I'm seeing a lack of all this in our cricket.
Oh,
and the guys don't seem to have too much head either.
Mm. All right, Carla. Well, I know you're very emotional and maybe laden with troubles as well. Let's go and take a call again. Hello, welcome, incident guest.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. How are you?
Yeah, good evening.
I just want to make a point that the first thing West Indies cricket has to do is get rid of Carlos Braffitt. We keep talking about his track record. What track record does Carlos Braffitt have besides hitting 4 sixes?
Mm.
Carlos Braffitt is an overrated, lucky player.
Overrated and lucky?
Yes.
No, Carlos, why would you want to get rid of him as captain?
Can't maintain his place.
Okay.
Not good enough. And know that the West Indies Cricket Board has extended the olive branch to certain players.
Right.
The first thing they have to do is reverse that decision because he was given the captaincy by default.
Mm.
We all know that.
So Carlos,
this thing with Carlos Braffitt, he's no use.
So, no, come on, no. Come on, Carlos. Watch your conduct, watch your language. Remember, you're going live. Just don't kill the players like that. If you're not going to have Carlos Braffitt as your captain, who will be your captain, Carla? You must have a
captain. Short-term captain would be Dennis Ramdin.
Mm. You're going back to Ramdin. Why would you go with Ramdin?
Because he still has 2 or 3 years left in him of international cricket.
Mm. What about his ability as a captain, tactically?
He would probably be the number 2 captain in the region right now, tactically, behind John Johnson.
Okay, I see. So you're going to go back to Ramdin as your captain, and you're going to drop Carlos Braffitt right out of the team completely?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
And then, yeah, and you think we would win if you made those two changes?
We need the strike bowler for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
and with Carlos Braffitt as captain, he's stopping a strike bowler from getting into the team,
right.
Especially if you're going to be playing Rahman Powell, Andre Russell, and
Paul.
Kendrick Williams.
And Kimo Paul.
It's also something that he didn't, Robin Paul didn't bowl at all.
Bowl. In fact, the commentators were talking about it, didn't bowl.
Really puzzling.
And Badri, in fact, even the Trinidad commentators are beginning to wonder what Badri. Of course, we talk about, people like Ian Bishop, who was very much on there. Darren Ganga, they were actually saying they would not have played Badri in that last match.
Mm.
Yes, he's on the decline. He's 37 at Gale.
But definitely, this is not the real T20 team. I mean, they're two specialist batsmen here.
Right.
I mean, Lewis and Samuels, who both failed during the series. There's no strike bowler. And, we did mention, I think this is just a collection of guys that are on the periphery.
Right.
The question we have to ask ourselves...
The 20 sides in the world have specialist batsmen, the specialist bowlers.
Yes, The question we have to ask ourselves is that if the olive branch has been offered, which of those players do you think would merit inclusion, reintegration into the team?
Good point.
If they make themselves available for the West Indies tournament and they perform well...
This should get coming.
You have a bigger pool of players to choose from.
Mm. So we're going to wait till the CPL is over then.
Yes.
Available and perform.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, thanks for your contribution. Let's take another call. 4341790. Of course, if you want to participate, call in overseas. It's 1246 in front. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good evening, sir. Andrew, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Just
want to talk about couple of points,
Sure.
I think that lady, she probably was looking at my paper.
Mm.
Really?
She was copying.
Yeah, she was copying.
You gave her the memo.
You did. Yes.
I want to ask you a question. And you'll come along in the West Indies career. You West Indies ever opened the ball with two spinners in any format again?
I couldn't believe it. The lack of aggression. Paula, let me say it to you, right? I believe that when you look at the series, we were aggressive in the test series, and then we decided because of the 50 over, the T20, that we should pay the double medium paces. And that's the problem. You're right. We started the attack in the last match with two spinners. Actually, Nurse and Badri. It's amazing.
In my view, in any form, it shows thought, and that's what I want to get into.
Mm.
The management of this team, from the manager down to the coach and everything, lack and presented with this cricket. And I am not a favorite of them.
Mm.
Full stop. You know, you are saying that the spinner option is the best.
Mm.
You had a spinner who opened the ball and got two wickets and an over. You know, he was taken off.
Yes. Yeah, not Ashers.
And Ever was playing a food match and I was born and get two wickets and over and guaranteed I will walk off the field.
Mm.
It is nonsense.
Mm.
Because if you're saying the spinner is your opening option, you're bowling because you want success. He's giving you it.
Right.
And you take him off.
Mm.
You come back the next game and start a new ball straight out of the plastic bag and put it in Badri hand, who is finished. But Badri is finished.
Mm.
And we can't see it. Mm. And it's a shame that who is selecting, who is managing our cricket, you want to see the decline of our players. Marlon Stammer has been playing cricket for since, and he's still there, dubbing bogey players here and there, can't feel, sleeping on the field.
Mm.
And he's still managing the play of after 18 years of poor performances.
So Colin, you're gonna leave out Samuels and Badri going forward. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think not leave them out. I think they should finish the West Indies cricket. I mean, any format. Any format. We have to move on. We have an A team. What is the purpose of the A team?
Right.
No, we have to start. If you're forced to keep a player who is 37 and 38, that means something is wrong with your programs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Something is wrong with your program and your development program, because that means that you don't have anybody to replace somebody who's 38 years old and failing.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, can I ask a question? One of the most aggressive players in the Caribbean is a guy with the name of Jermaine Blackwood.
Mm.
Most people feel he's best suited for the shorter version of the game. And incidentally, he doesn't play that for the West Indies.
Mm.
But recently, he was picked for the A-team to play in the shorter form version. And he performed.
Right.
Wouldn't he be a player who you would want to see in the shorter version of West Indies cricket? And he's an electrifying fielder.
Mm.
That's the point I'm getting back.
I agree with you, Pearson.
Poor management of the West Indies team, they're failing. Because the guy from Guyana, the left-handed guy,
Hetmyer?
Hetmyer.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that should be in your 2020.
Of course, Hetmyer should be in the side. In fact, Paula, really, I saw Hetmyer about 2 or 3 years ago. Barbados up against Guyana Providence. And Suleiman Bembe's ball in tight match. And this guy Cable Hetmyer, as you were saying, Caribbean, licked the ball all the way. So was this youngster, man. No, he bats with a tremendous freedom.
I was surprised
that a fellow Hetmyer, having done so well when he came into the West Indies, he should play T20.
I don't think we need to rush Hetmyer into every form of the game. If you want Hetmyer to be a test player, but you have to understand and look at the psyche of a guy who is 20.
Are you saying you won't play Hetmyer?
My assessment of Hetmyer is that his difficulty at the test is making decision making and shot selection. I see T20 as a way of deepening that problem. But let me get to the Jermaine Blackwood T20 stats. 19 matches,
yeah.
168 runs, 12.92 average. If you reflect on Jermaine Blackwood
in
CPL or any T20 that he's played, Jermaine Blackwood just hasn't performed.
Mm. So
Jermaine Blackwood has performed.
So you disagree with Pearson then?
No, I said short
the
form.
The stats don't agree with Pearson. I'm just giving you the stats.
But hold on. but remember, stats are relative too. Yes. You have to look at what Jermaine Blackwood has done since he's been out of the West Indies team and in the 18.
Mm. But when you watch Jermaine in the T20, the times that you watch him, when he played for the Tallywoods, he wasn't able to get the ball off the square. And that frustrated him so much that he never stayed very long at the crease. And that was his problem, you know. The thing is, a batsman has a few decisions to make when the ball is coming to him. Does he defend? Does he attack? And if he's defending, he has to decide where to hit it in order to get his run.
And
I think that's the problem that people
if we follow that argument to logical conclusion, just hold on. If we follow that argument to logical, we would never have seen Graham Gooch as the great player that he was. Because there was a guy who came into cricket for England at around age 22, touted to be a great, an outstanding player, and he failed miserably. England dropped Gooch, brought him back, they dropped Gooch, and then Gooch had a rejuvenation in his career.
Right.
And went on to play he was about 14.
A lot of runs on his belt.
The point I'm making is that sometimes when you look at a player initially at international level, because he has failed before, and you put him back to the drawing board and said, go and correct him.
Right.
And now he's performing at the level that you're asking him to perform at. You have to give him an opportunity to see if he has really made that transition.
I agree with you.
I call it
just before you come in again. I just want to make the point. I disagree with Doc on this. Because when I see Hetmyer play cricket, I immediately see Hetmyer based on the way he bats as a T20 batsman and, of course, a 50-over batsman. Now, the test match he played, Doc, listen to this. You brought stats. 104 runs. For highest of 86, he averaged 52. And then when Hetmyer played in the 3-1 day, the Nationals, he was the top scorer for the West Indies, 207 runs, highest of 125, and he averaged 69.
Yeah, Hetmyer is a talent. And I think Hetmyer is the one young player who has the ability to do almost everything. But I'm saying that as far as development is concerned, psychologically, I don't think Hetmyer is ready to play all three formats.
I see.
We saw what it did with Bishu, this thing of rushing the player into all. Do we want to destroy Hetmyer? And we have to decide what do we want out of him. Do we want a test batsman or do we want another T20? I put it to you that test cricket is more important than the T20, and I think he's too big a talent to bother him with having to play all three formats.
Oh, yes, Colin, you still with us?
I want to make two final points.
Sure.
I don't agree with Dr. Porter. We want good players that can play all three formats. We can't fool around with the players, not being special. You're only a one-day cricket, and 2020 develops your game, It helps to develop your game. We want players who can play all three formats of the game.
Case in point, David Warner.
David Warner was a one-day cricketer.
T20 one-day.
And he came in test cricket and got a super record in test cricket. So I don't go with that notion that, you want this. We want players. We want good players that can adjust according to the format of the game.
I'm calling before you move on. The last caller, not happy with Carlos Brathwaite. As a captain, he doesn't feel that Carlos Brathwaite should be in the side. Do you agree with that?
I on performance, he doesn't merit his
okay.
And And Charles Bradford is destroying himself. It gets to the point that I'm making, that I want to make in terms of the management and the leadership of this team.
Right.
Because in my view, they are not correcting no faults in West Indies cricket. We have Charles Bradford for the last year and a half has been making the same mistake, batting with arrogance.
Mm.
Want to stay on the front foot and want to slap bowlers over the head for a ball that's bouncing over the shoulder.
Mm.
You know, he's been getting out that way now almost every innings. You know, he there's no thought and thinking in his batting. What is the coach is doing there? There don't seem to be no leadership, no correction. For the last 2 years, you're hearing the coaches and everybody saying too much dot balls.
Right.
Have there been any change?
No.
What's going on?
No.
There haven't been any change. And if there's not any change, something is wrong somewhere. Either the players are not listening, the message is not coming over strongly enough.
Right.
I don't know. But we are not seeing learning. The learning process is not happening in the West Indies team.
Mm-hmm.
Take an instance. The last 2020, Russell bowled every ball short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came back in the last one and bowled the same way?
Yeah, he did.
You should not watch this cricket.
You begin to wonder. Begin to wonder about it, huh?
It cannot be serious.
No.
And as you've been saying, West Indies have been not paying attention to bowling.
No.
Bowling
is devaluate.
The most important part of cricket.
I have said that for years. We devalue bowling.
If you are good bowlers and you bowl well, you're in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot win games if you don't bowl properly. Mm-hmm. If it's 20-20, 50 overs, 10 overs, test matches, you have to have good bowlers and bowl properly. If you don't bowl properly in T20s, you've got just 190.
Well, sir, we're getting some response here by the WhatsApp from the.
You know,
I
really cannot understand what is happening with this group. I'm not seeing no learning, so that's why I have big issues with the management of the team.
Yeah, we have a female WhatsApper here saying, Andrew, Hepmeyer should be playing all formats of the game.
He's a talent.
So the ladies are coming through this season.
The most talented players only playing test cricket, and the rest of the players doing nonsense.
Well, thanks for your contribution. It's always good to hear from you. You sound very emotional. You sound very emotional. And laden with emotion. I like that word. That's a key word tonight. All right. Can we take another call? No, okay, thanks. What we're going to do, we're going to pause some business call. And, of course, you can call us at 4417.
Who's the greatest cricketer on earth or Mars? Anyone can tell you it's the great Sir Gavin Sobers. This handsome Barbadian lad really knows his work. Batting or bowling, he's the cricket king.
My friend's trick is tenetry is listening. I want him to call tonight because he says we don't take calls. Straight to strength to wherever you are.
Tonight is
this is your night, trick is tenetry. Mr. San Andrew as well. Haven't heard him in such a long time. Hello, let's welcome other call Mason and guests. Hello.
Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening to you.
Good evening to your panel.
Right, good evening.
Andrew, I know went back inside my office.
Yes.
I look back at some notes.
Right.
On the 13th of March, 2016,
right,
you were discussing the same point with West Indies cricket.
Mm-hmm.
I called the program on that day. That evening, we don't have 33 cricketers in the Caribbean, Andrew, to pick three teams.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't have 33 good cricketers. We're fooling around with at least 9 good cricketers in the Caribbean. And we seem to be able to turn around the test cricketing aspect despite we played against Bangladesh and Sri Lanka, which teams are just slightly ahead of us. But I ain't really called this evening to discuss. I would like at least 5 minutes there for that. Andrew, I know that you're back in the commentary chair on Saturday. I've now started watching some cricket back on Saturday again. And I would really like to find out from the BCA, what is the purpose of match referees on a Saturday at these games? The behavior on the field and off the field is horrible at club cricket. I mean, even a club, a team coming to your club now, and it's lunchtime, nobody sticks at the lunch table anymore.
Oh,
everybody come and take the food and go back inside. There's no love seen between the two teams or anything. And I mean, the BCA has to step in and act on this, because at the end of the year, BCA is paying out money to match referees. I spoke to one of them. The guy said they're sending the report, but the board don't act. So I can't blame the match referees. The behavior is horrible. I have not seen one single player being pulled out of cricket, suspended for 2 games, put on a reprimand, position towards him for his behavior. And the BCA needs to act. But you know what will hurt me? That tomorrow there's an election. One of the hotels on the South Coast.
Right.
The post is back on the BCA. And the funny thing about this, Andrew, is that when you look at a politician, you have elections every 5 years. So even if you lose an election, you go away for 5 years.
Right.
People are being voted off the BCA board last year.
Mm-hmm.
And their names are back up for election within 11 months. What they have done so significantly different that I should go and vote for them.
Well,
my position is clear. I would not attend a next BCA meeting probably to 2022 if I'm still around. Because I'm not seeing anything is changing around the cricket. And there's a BCA board member. I know I've chosen my words. A BCA a team like BCL should be out of cricket. Police is now playing in the lower league. 18 years ago, Police was champions in Barbados. And we come about with this promotion and demotional system that when Tony Marshall was the president, I challenge him on it to eroding cricket club life in Barbados. Because every person now that plays Division One cricket between age 22 to 30, if this guy is living in St. Michael, but or say he lives in St. John, but he comes to town to play for Imperial or Carlton or Pitwick, whatever the case may be. When he turns 32, he's going back to St. John to his club.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting comment. So you want to react to them, Pearson?
Well, naturally, the BCA will come under scrutiny because they're the administrators of cricket in Barbados, and I think that one of the things they should do as an organization is to take all comments on board and try to get some consensus as to the way to move forward and take the cricket from the level that we are at now onto the next level. So I do agree that in terms of things like match referees and looking at the promotion, demotion, that that is something that is up for discussion, and you can't discount what the caller has said in terms of looking at those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go and take another call. Can we? We can. Hello, welcome, Mr. and guest.
Yes, good evening, Andrew.
Good evening to you.
And to your panel.
Yep, Dr. Ford and your good friend Pearson.
I realize that you have another monarch in St. Philip with you.
Oh, yeah. yes, indeed.
Stars and stripes this time.
Yeah, you know it is. We produce the best, you know.
Oh, dear.
yes.
Right. We have a monarch in the studio as well.
Oh, you have a monarch?
Yes, we do.
You call Andrew?
No, Ronnie Clark.
Well, yeah, good. I must say that I would like to commend him on, there's a song that he sang this year. I don't know why he didn't sing it in the semi-finals, if my memory serves me well, with the speaking about Calypsonians, Gabby, and other guys that I thought was a very good offering by Ronnie Clark. I think really up the game. I don't know if that was written for him, but it was a very, very good offering.
Ronnie's songs are always written by Plastic Life.
on a point of order.
Yes.
On a point of order.
Yes, Ronnie.
Mr. Speaker, on a point of order. The announcer's songs are all written by Ronald Clark. That was arranged by Pernell Farley, but the song was not rehearsed. It was not rehearsed. And there was the question asked if it should still be done on judging night, but it had not been rehearsed to a sufficient degree of comfort
right.
For me, because it's a, if you know the song, you know that it's a big song musically, and
yeah,
you know, as a result, it wasn't judged.
Mm.
Yeah, it was. I must say,
Randolph, I think your advice to him is just to bring it next year.
No, I can't. I can't, because it was actually ended for Sweet Soca this year.
Okay.
It didn't make the cut, so I didn't get a chance to do it for Piccadilly.
Oh, right.
I'm sure that if you had gotten the Sweet Soca,
okay,
that you would come very much up in the pecking order. Yeah.
Well, what happened?
It was very good, Roddy. I must say it was a very good offering.
Well, it's a song for a lifetime. It's a song that will always be relevant, and that's what I choose to write from time to time. You can't sing about politics all the time.
No, no.
Right. Yeah. Anyhow, let's get on to the game of cricket.
Right.
I must say that our boys they didn't come through. I don't think they were beating too badly, but you have to give jacket.
Right.
There's one thing tonight really want to say. I know that, you know, sometimes when I make certain comments, I get licked for them.
Mm.
Now, I think somebody alluded there to the fact about we should have players, and my friend Bavaldia mentioned Warner.
Mm.
Now, we have Andre Russell, and everybody speaks about how good a player he is. Now, technically, I see good players as those players who play test cricket and down.
Mm.
Now, when Andrew Russell can come and play the four-day version and the test version, where the wicket has on grass and there's no deal boards, that you can smash the ball all over the park, then he can get into my top thing. Now, I'm not in any way putting him down, because if you're looking for persons to carry us forward, Andre Russell should, I know there's a lot of money out there in the 2020 version, but when you look at Christopher Gayle, who is not, I must say, he's one of my favorite boys.
Right.
But he has played all the versions of the game, and he smashes the ball about.
Mm-hmm.
But the bouncing ball on the grass,
right,
that is the one I would like to see Andrew Russell playing
with.
As a bowler, I think he might be able to give some trouble so long as there's grass on the wicket.
Mm-hmm.
But he's batting on the deal board.
Mm-hmm.
He gets lots of runs. And I think that those are the areas. I think he's still a young man.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the areas I would like to see him into. Our boys, we have to pull our socks. The boys have to pull our socks up. And I'm wondering if sometimes nobody doing certain things to bring certain people back in is causing some lackadaisical approaches on some of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you know, Andrew, if you know that you're there all along. But if you hear Andrew coming and Bavel coming and Dr.
Right.
Ford coming,
it's
quite obvious you say, well, I ain't getting a player.
Right.
So you're putting some people under pressure. So I don't think that person should go under pressure. I do like the guy from Guyana, because I think that he's going to go far.
Hetmar.
Yes,
no, he's fearless.
Yeah,
typical West Indian match.
Yeah, he's really. He's a very typical guy.
As I see, lick him up, man.
Yeah.
He doesn't make sport.
Yeah, yeah. But I must say that he ripped things. And, you know, but I'm sure that we are in a rebuilding stage.
Right.
And we must give the boys give them a chance. And this thing about, we ain't got many people to play. We got a lot of people around the Caribbean.
Right.
But we need to, you know, give the guys a chance. Give them a run if you're doing a thing. I think somebody alluded there to the A-team.
Mm-hmm.
It don't make sense having an A-team and have people performing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go and bring back Bovell to play and other people to play. Many fellas in the A-team, you got to draft them in and give them the chance.
No, I agree.
You know, I hope my team, this is cricket as well, I hope our team should do reasonably hard. We have Mr. Smith in, and I want persons also to understand, because I see some people seem to be opposing Smith playing. The ICC has rules,
right?
And the ICC used the rules that were laid down for what was alleged to what the Australians did, but the Prime Minister of the country is who assisted in putting them on a year ban. It had nothing to do with the cricket persons who run the cricket, because there's rules settled. And since then, they have topped up the punishment for persons who do X, Y, and Z. And ball tampering was something that had been going on
for a long time.
Eons. Mm-hmm. Not now, eons.
Mm-hmm. I'd
be surprised to know some of the persons who might have been and could have been involved with ball tampering. Do have a wonderful afternoon.
All right. Thanks, you, Randolph. Let's go quickly and talk to Ian Bradshaw, the former West Indies all-rounder. Hello, Ian. How are you?
Hi. Good night, Andrew. Good night to all your guests.
All right. Your assessment of this, the West Indies, in terms of the T20, they lost 2-1. Were you surprised by that?
Yes, I was. I believe that our T20 team is generally a strong one. And I believe that Bangladesh, I think they were right below us.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that we would have gotten the better of that series.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that when you look at our bowling, it was as disciplined as it could have been. And that's something that we'll have to look at. Badgery at the top, not as effective as he's been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll hope he gets that right if he's to be considered going forward. And in a bat, from a batting perspective, it showed how much we missed the power at the top with Gale and the other left-hander from Trinidad, Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, when they get off, both or either one of them, it made such a difference to our complete batting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So with our struggles at the top, it placed a lot of trouble for us to be well positioned going into those last six or so overs.
Mm, indeed. Were you surprised that Lewis was dropped for that last game, Evan Lewis?
I was, because as I said before, for West Indies to be successful in T20 cricket, it is always important for us to make use of the first and the last six. That is really our strength. We're not a team that really have been strong at rotating the strike in the middle, but we make up for it in our power hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And he certainly brings that. He's a threat to the opposition. And being a virtual final, I thought that Lewis would have been the man that I would have entrusted there, but the selectors felt different.
Yeah, Badgley seems to be a bit on the decline now. Well, he's now age 37. In fact, he played three matches. Only bowled 8 overs, so he didn't fully bowl. But he would have had a maximum of 12, and he went for 72 runs, and his economy was the highest of 9. Is he on the decline? Is he on his way up, you think, Badgley?
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about T20 cricket is that you don't play a lot of it,
right.
And you can see in many of the guys who would have stopped playing international cricket,
mm-hmm.
and they play T20, if they don't play a lot of it,
mm-hmm.
they don't tend to be too successful. So I don't think that he's played that volume of cricket recently, and you just can't turn up international cricket, no matter who you're playing against, that you'll perform. So I think his inactivity certainly is being shown up, and it would be something that if he wants to carry on, you're right, saying he's 37, and at this stage, he has to determine how hungry he is to keep himself up to a standard. It'll be interesting to see how he goes in the upcoming CPL tournament. But the thing, the World Cup T20 is 2 years away.
Right.
That's a bit way off. Will he get there? That's a matter that we have to look at.
No, in terms of the 50 over, because we're doing an analysis of the series against Bangladesh, we had the West Indies playing in the 50 over competition, and they lost 2-1. Did that surprise you, Ian?
Not totally, because it's our worst format out of the three.
Mm-hmm.
And we are right behind the Bangladeshis.
Right.
We did have some confidence coming out of the test series.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that the makeup of our team was different from what we presented in the test series.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly with the absence of Shana Gabriel, that made a difference. Whether he was fit enough to play the test series the one day is, I'm not certain, having come out of the test series against both Sri Lanka and Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't communicated if he was rested or what's not, if he was just not picked.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that with his pace and obviously his confidence at the time,
mm-hmm.
once he was fit, I would think that he should have definitely played.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And in terms of the test matches, now, I mean, we did so well, lots of aggression. We had test matches in Antigua and in Jamaica. Pitchers green, and the bowlers exploited those conditions, and the West Indies won comfortably.
If you play Bangladesh on fast, bouncy pitches, they will lose.
Right.
Because that's what happens. A lot of teams in international cricket now, they don't travel well because, especially those Asian teams, they prepare services in their home territories that are so much to their favor.
Mm-hmm.
They are almost at a loss when they go overseas and are presented with pitches with some bounce and some pace. So it was a really surprise to me that they lost. The manner in which they lost was surprising. I thought they would have put up a greater fight. But I certainly felt that our pace attack at the time would have presented them with a lot of trouble. And as you can realize, they only had, I think it was one short game to prepare. So they would not have been ready for that first match, certainly. And I think over the course of the tour, you see that they got some momentum.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to our credit, guys like Jason Holder, he obviously did extremely well.
Right.
Leading from the front, and that will give him some confidence as a leader to have won games and have made an impact both with the bat and the ball. This tour has always been hopefully a watershed moment for someone like Hetmyer, who got some scores in the test series, and they put that confidence into the one days. Was a little surprised that he didn't. I was once again carrying that momentum. He wasn't given some opportunity in the T20s, but as I said, I am pleased for this young man that he is showing some confidence. Obviously a guy that has come through all on the 19 system, and him and Kimo Paul, it's great to see them coming through.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, Pearson here. Just a quick question.
Yeah.
Early in the night, I had said that I believe that Carlos's problem, Braffitt that is, was that he was no longer batting. He was turning himself into a hitter rather than a batsman who can hit.
Yeah.
Now, I got a WhatsApp message here from a listener who says that maybe to solve that problem, we should let Carlos Braffitt bat at number three.
Mm-hmm.
Your comments?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was pleased to see that we took the opportunity to put Russell at three. And I'll say a similar thing where Carlos is concerned, because these guys are technically better than what they show sometimes down the bottom, where they just give themselves the opportunity to hit the ball over the park. And the nature of that rule means that your percentage of failure will be a lot higher then sometimes you will succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And that will take effect on your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what has happened to Carlos over time, where he's been pigeonholed into a position of this great finisher.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the rate of expectation based on what he did in the last final of the T20 World Cup, I think that combined effect has pulled down his effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see some of the offside shots that we who growing up and seeing Carlos play, know he can execute.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everything now is now being tugging to the leg side. So the opportunity to buy a tree would be great, but I probably don't think that he could just leapfrog someone like a Russell, who obviously at this stage of his career is probably one of the more effective players that we have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you, Ian, for coming through and talking to us. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you.
All right. It's 7:30 in the country. You've got half an hour left for Mason, I guess. Let's go back to Antigua and talk to the great man, Sandy Roberts. Hello, Sandy. How are you?
Good evening, Andrew.
Good. How was good old Antigua? Did you go carnival yesterday?
I have carnival every day.
Pardon me?
I have carnival every day.
You do? Could you explain that, Sandy?
Yes, I do.
Could you explain that?
Every day I live my life the same way.
All right. Now talk to me, Sir Andy. I know that when you're on, people say, oh my golly, Sir Andy's going to come in, and as we say in Caribbean parlance, cuss the team. Now, Sir Andy, in the test series, they won. ODIs and T20s, they lost. Did that surprise you?
No, nothing surprised me about West Indies cricket today.
Could you explain that?
And again, I'm not going to cuss the team. I cuss the players because I think the players do not work hard enough to improve the cricket. I will forever stop on that note because you come back the same day, the same year, right? Doing the same thing.
Sandy, what do you mean by not working hard enough? You say it in the show very often, but could you explain what you mean by that? Not working hard enough?
Yeah, when people work hard in the game, you see there's a difference in their approach. There's a difference in everything. When you look at these players, you see the same thing day in, day out.
Well, what about the fitness of these?
But you live in Barbados.
Right.
How often do these guys there practice, and what time of the day they practice? Because the ones who live in Antigua, I don't see them practice often enough.
No, you don't, huh?
No, I don't.
So
neither do I hear anyone complimenting them for the hard work they're putting in.
So the key really is hard work. And when you obviously played for the West Indies, it was all about hard work, and that's why you were so successful, along with the great ones like Michael Holden and people like Andy Roberts, of course, Andy in the line. So Curtly would have come after you. These people were great, and they worked hard.
They work hard. Hard work beats talent.
Interesting. You were saying to me, Sandy, when you started, back in 1974. I mean, nowadays with the entourage that they have in West Indies cricket, you got a coach, you got an assistant coach. You told me that you went on the tour, there was only one person. It was Sir Clyde Walker as the manager?
Yeah, Clyde Walker was the manager. So the only help we had was from the captain who runs the practice.
Right.
And we didn't have much physical training in the early years. Only in the late 70s, early 80s, that the physical part of it really came into play.
Right, I see. And you were suggesting that you were a little surprised that nowadays the guys actually practice with a bit of football. That didn't happen in your time, Sandy.
No. You go to a West Indies match. You go and watch a West Indies match, and during the warm up, they spend more time kicking football than doing anything else.
So what you did in that time when you played for the West Indies? No football.
No football. Go to the net. Hold for 15, 20 minutes, or sometimes half an hour before, make sure that your body, is well loose.
Right, indeed. So you're recommending to the players that they've got to work hard if they're going to win going forward?
It shows in the demise of cricket. Work ethics has deteriorated. If you ask the people who have been around the game longer than I have been, and they will probably tell you the same thing.
Right. No, in terms of the T20, we went to Florida. We lost. At the end it was 2-1. Not getting the kind of performances from these cricketers. You would want to see an improvement in T20. Of course, we're the world champions. And in terms of the 50 over, they had a couple of matches in the Caribbean, and they lost. That must concern you, Sandy.
Yeah, I would like to see improvement in the cricket overall, not just T20 or.
Overall,
the first class cricket, I would like to see improvement.
Right, indeed.
But can you just tell me who player is on the horizon who could step into this team? And I bet you can name two players.
Can you, Pearson, mention two players, Sandy, that you think will make it going forward? Really? What about Hetmyer? Do you like Hetmyer?
Hetmyer is there right now.
Okay. Oh, you're talking about outside of the team.
You're talking about the guys in the A team.
Oh.
The guys who are there.
Right.
Come.
Right.
The ones who are actually playing, not the 15 who is playing.
Just off
the tip of your tongue.
Oh, you're talking about the Cornwalls or those guys.
Yeah, you can't name two.
Mm.
So when people are saying that I'm cautioning, no, there's nobody there who's stepping forward. Mm. Nobody.
Mm. So
if the majority of West Indians is satisfied with that, so be it. But I'm not satisfied with it. I think the players need to improve their cricket.
What about Shamar Brooks from Barbados?
No. You don't tell me what about. Name two players. No. That's all I ask. Name two players. You ask me what about this. You ask me what about that. No.
We can't trap your toes, Andy, can we?
Wait, what? You're dumb? You're dumb? You can't name two players? I didn't say name any
left. Cornwall and Brooks.
I said Cornwall and Brooks.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I hear you.
Sandy, what do you think about Cornwall?
But I hear you. I just leave it right there.
Sandy, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I know, but Sir Curly Ambrose was on earlier. He said he was jamming for the last 2 days. He's got it's going to take about 2 or 3 weeks to recover. How long will you want to take to recover, Sandy?
Oh, what?
So Curly Ambrose was on earlier, and of course you had your big carnival for 2 days, and he said he's going to take about 10 weeks to recover. How long would you want to take to recover, having done this?
To do what he has done in the last 3 or 4 days, it may take me until the end of the World Cup next year.
All right, Sandy, nice to have you on the show. Enjoy the rest of your evening. All right, all Sandy right, Roberts, 44.17. And 90, you can give us a call and certainly participate. Can we take a call? It's, of course, brought to you, of course, in association with our very good friends at Bob.
Let's just go back to the glory days where you had guys like Calicharan and Lawrence Rowe knocking down the door to get into the team and to replace guys like Kenai and those guys who were then coming to the end of their career.
Mm.
And they were integrated into the team at around age 24, Rowe and Calicharan. They hit the ground running.
Mm.
So his point is taken that there's no immediate persons coming to the 18 who will knock down the door, so to speak, and you can say that we'll make it successfully at the international level.
Mm.
So, but we know what it is, and we have to improve the standard of West Indies cricket before we can get there.
Okay, let's go and take a call. Mason and Guest, hello, welcome. Good evening.
Good evening, how are you guys?
Oh, our good friend from Canada. What part of Canada are you from?
Toronto.
Oh, you're a Toronto man. Do you know Hazy Ben?
Of course I do.
Mm.
I DJed for him a time back at a party.
Oh, really? You're a DJ too? I thought you were a cricketer.
Yes.
I thought you were a cricketer.
Cricketer, DJ, every day.
Okay.
Now,
all right.
I want to start to say, listen, you know what?
Right.
A lot of people don't agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
Mm.
When you say the players don't know the game.
Mm.
The problem is the players don't know the game, the coaches don't know the game, and the coaching staff doesn't know the game. I'll tell you why.
Right.
Now, you just play here in Toronto, Canada. You have those young fellas. Some of them that did very well.
Right?
It is time the West Indies board start to hand out some thank you letters. You understand? Let these guys go. These guys is around too long.
Mm.
They say that a man reached 25 years, the way he's going to die. Walton, Fletcher, Marla Samuel, Battery, you have to forget these guys. Give them a thank you letter.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them thank you for the service.
Mm.
And look to these younger fellas. These guys come to Canada, youngsters, and they do very well. The West Indies board never even consider looking at one of them that did very well. So I'm saying these are the things why the West Indies get them beat up all the time. And people say in the shock. You're not shocked. We have the greatest cricketers in the world. They're the legends. One of them should be coaching.
Right.
You is a batting, you're the coach, you're sitting on the pavilion, you should be sitting down with the next two guys to go in and saying, look at where he's going. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say, do this, do that. What are they getting to us for? I would like to know. You have to, you people bringing the players, you have to run the coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody doing the same thing for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's no improvement in the coaching.
Mm-hmm.
There's no improvement in the batting. There's no improvement in the bowling. And we want to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a youngster, you need to be trained. You have your kid, you have to train it.
Caller,
if you do not train the kids, how?
Just hold your horses, because I know that Roland Holder is on the line. I'm sure we can invite him in as well. Of course, his role is going to be different here during the discussion. Good evening to Roland. How are you? Roland? Yeah.
Good evening.
Yes. Roland, are you with us?
Yes, Andrew. Hi, good night.
Good.
Andrew, I'm hearing you.
Yeah, okay. We're hearing you as well. Yes. Okay, quickly, Roland, I know your time is limited. How did it go for you? I mean, any concerns? We had Bangladesh in for test matches. They had the ODIs and the T20s. Were you happy overall?
Yes, operationally, things went very well. Just one minor hiccup with flight. Overall, things went very well. Even in Florida, where things can be, where things are a little different. Operationally, things are very well there. We were met at the airport and for this through customs and immigration. The buses were allowed to meet inside and the curve. So things went very well generally on an operational front. And that is really all we can hope for from my department.
Operationally, things went well. In Florida, and of course, I would imagine in your own backyard, you should know the conditions very well in the Caribbean. No challenges in the Caribbean. You would have played matches what in St. Kitts, you were in Jamaica, you were in Antigua, in Guyana. Everything went well?
Well, Andrew, as the event team, there are always challenges at every venue. Nothing is very straightforward.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Most people don't know what goes on behind the scenes on a match. For example, they turn up and they see the players and they get tickets. But there's a lot of activity that goes on behind the scenes to get stuff, and even if it is not ready, to get fixes that are created. So there's a lot of work behind the scenes to get the game on. And basically, that went very well.
Indeed. And Roland, your assessment of two things. One, the pitches and the crowds.
Pitches are very good. The Antigua test match started with that, followed by the Jamaica test match.
Right.
I think crowds, those were very good. The pitches in Florida, I thought, could have been a little better, but they are not. They are, I don't want to use the word new. Certainly, it would have wanted a bit of grass on the pitches on the pitch itself. In Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, but that wasn't the case. Pitch in Guyana, the first pitch was wonderful. I think the match referee gave us very good marks for the first ODI pitch. Second ODI, thought it was a little slower and lower, so that got below average. But all in all, I think we have gotten very good marks for our pitches this season, both against Sri Lanka and now against Bangladesh.
And
I'm very happy with that.
And the crowds, generally?
Generally, the crowds were the crowds. Disappointing crowds. Overall, I would put forward the T20s in Florida. We were bad. I believe we're the biggest pro series. So very grateful for that. Very strong Bangladeshi contingent.
Yes, we saw that on television, yes.
So most of the Bangladesh were playing at home.
Yes, I could see that, yes, indeed. So the crowds in Florida were reasonably okay then, you're saying?
Yes, definitely. The crowds in Florida were very reasonable. And I suspect better than we had throughout the two series so far.
And for the first T20 in St. Kitts, how was that crowd at Warner Park?
That was bigger than the one-day international crowd.
Okay, I see.
But it generally doesn't have large attendances at one-day or so.
And they tend to come late, too.
Well, with an 8 o'clock start and rain involved. Get much later than that.
I know. Just before you go, Roland, what is the capacity of Warner Park? I hear so many figures. I mean, what is the capacity of Warner Park? Do you know?
From memory, I think it's about 8,000 to 10,000
per. 8,000 to 10,000. Doesn't look that big to me, though, Roland.
Well, I remember you have the rungs which holds the majority of the person.
Right. I see. Now, finally, what's next, Roland? You, of course, you had the Bangladesh, you had the Sri Lankans earlier. What's next? 50 over coming up in October?
Internationally, the team has, well, first off, the women are in camp in Antigua currently. They would have arrived yesterday, today. CPL is going on, as you're aware.
Right. The senior team tomorrow.
Has a camp. Yes, the senior team has a camp in, the senior team has a camp just before they head off to India. They leave. They arrive in India on the 25th of September.
Right.
They leave India on the 15th of November to go over to Bangladesh. So we have the return tour for Bangladesh later on this year.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Women's World T20 in November. So that is in Antigua, St. Lucia, and Guyana.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Regional Super 50, which starts in October. Teams travel around the 28th, 29th of September to the various venues. We have South Africa women coming to the Caribbean in September, October. We have India women coming to the Caribbean towards the end of October. So it's actually a very busy year for us. And we currently have a West Indies under 15 side in the UK.
Right, right. In fact, that team was actually announced, I think, either yesterday or today, I think I saw it. So in terms of the 50 over, Roland, before you go, that's starts early October and ends at the end of the month, my understanding?
Yes, the final is between the 7th of October.
Right.
That's the schedule for the final. It's a Saturday, so I probably need to confirm that the final is the 27th, but it is the Saturday around the 26th.
Right, the last Saturday in October, I think. Is that right?
Correct.
Right.
That is correct.
Have you determined the venues as yet?
The answer to that is there have been a couple of suggestions that have been put forward, just waiting on the final approval of the two venues, which we expect to have out by the end of this week.
Right.
And then we have already alerted the team of the schedule and their potential travel dates. So it's just to confirm exactly where the venues will be.
And we can confirm that Antigua, because of its preparation for the Women's T20 World Cup, will not be part of it this year. We can confirm that.
Well, I can confirm that all the World Cup venues are not under consideration. Antigua, St. Lucia, Guyana.
Okay. Antigua, St. Lucia, Guyana. Okay. Well, I know that our folks in Barbados are quite keen. I know that the Barbados Cricket Association made a bid to host one of the zones, the semifinals and the finals. Can you confirm that?
I know a bid was made, and that too is under consideration.
All right. Wonderful, Roland. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And let me say to you that I get lots of WhatsApp messages from people across the world who they're very happy with your contribution to the show, because it's important to keep listeners abreast. And that PR is so vitally important. We're very happy to have you on the show whenever you are available, Roland. And you're always available. Thanks for your contribution.
Thanks, Andrew. Have a good night.
All right, indeed. Can we take a call? 4341 790, and let's pause for business calls. Of course, Mason and guests is Brooke.
Vivi is the name, cricket is the game, but I don't know how he could play cricket so. But his batting, bowling, stealing, catching is breathtaking. Sometimes I just wonder if he's a net lover's in the making. That man Richard could really bat. It's something to see him and the attack.
We're going to be having the 50 over competition coming up very, very soon. And he's confirming that venues like Antigua, St. Lucia, and Antigua, of course, Guyana, very much a part of it, and St. Lucia will not be part of it. My understanding is that Barbados will get a zone along with the semifinals and the finals, and I also understand that Trinidad and Jamaica considered. Talking about Jamaica, let's go to the land of Wood and Walker and talk to our very good friend. We're not talking from Florida or from Guyana. We're talking to Ramli Rasawan from Kingston, Jamaica. Hello, Ramlaresh, how are you?
Hi, buddy, how are you? I actually just got back to the hotel.
Yeah, good indeed. Indeed. What are you doing in Jamaica?
Well, I'm here as the assistant coach for the Talawas. So, I'm looking forward to it.
So hopefully we'll be able to have a good season.
Wonderful. I'm sure you're quite happy. You're no longer playing, Ronnie, but it's good to be part of management, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's great. Obviously, to be working with the young and upcoming players, it's a privilege. So hopefully I'll be able to help them as much as I can with the rest of the coaching staff.
Right. When did you arrive in Jamaica for that assignment?
I arrived here about a week ago.
Okay.
So we've been working since then. We actually finished the Trinidad tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, indeed. No doubt looking forward to your new role. You must be quite excited about that. And your players are fit and ready to go for the CPL?
Yeah, we are pretty much fit and ready. We just actually came back from a training session. So everyone seems to be raring to go. It's a tournament that everyone is looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll be able to have a tournament.
Indeed. Okay. Well, I'm not going to keep you too much longer because I know that you want to enjoy Jamaica. We always enjoy Jamaica, the land of wood and water. Let's have a look back, Ronnie, at this series. In fact, we have the West Indies in your backyard now because I know you've got several properties there in Florida. The T20 tournament. That's what Sean Devers told me. The T20 tournament there in Florida, there are two matches played. The West Indies lost 2-1. Were you surprised by this, Ronnie?
Yeah, I was. The results, I'm sure we all were hoping for, but yeah, it happened. I was very much surprised, but obviously it's cricket we've been, so anything is possible, especially in the T20 format.
Indeed. And in terms of the 50-over competition, the West Indies lost 2-1. Were you surprised by that, Ronnie?
Very much so. I was hoping that we would have been able to win both series, the T20 and the one-day tournament, but obviously it shows that we have quite a lot of work to do still. So hopefully the boys will be able to get himself prepared for the next tournament and hopefully be able to win.
Yeah, but talking about that 50-over competition, young Shamon Mar, that you know very well, he was good in the three matches he played. He made 207 runs. In fact, he was the highest in terms of runs, followed by Powell, who got 118. He made 125. Do you know Hetmeyer well, Ronnie?
Well, I've played against him a couple of times, and he's been around when we had practice and stuff like that for the senior team and the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's very promising, obviously. I think he has the talent to become one of Wesley's best batsmen.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that he has this tendency of being very consistent, and also when he gets to 50, tends to score 100.
Mm-hmm.
I think the interesting thing about him though is that the intent that he shows when he's batting, there's no fear, and I think he continues to play that way with his shot selections. I think he has a wonderful future ahead of him.
I agree with you totally. He's a good player. In fact, I saw him about 2 or 3 years ago when Barbados played against some guy. I think Suleiman Ben was in that match as well, and he was able to come down the pitch, charge him over the top, and you don't do that often to Suleiman Ben. So he's certainly one for the future. Now, in terms of the test matches, the West Indies in conditions that were good for them, we had Ronnie, the first test match played in Antigua. Pitch had lots of grass. They went to Sabina Park, lots of grass. And the West Indies won that series. There were two matches. They won both of them. So it was a good result for the West Indies in terms of the test matches.
Yeah, of course it was. Obviously, I think the conditions had a lot to do with it. I think they've been doing that 25 years ago. Leaf grass in the surfaces, the fast bowlers that we've been producing over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, it's too late. But I think the fact that we've been able to get grass and the surface to play against the teams from Asia, it means that someone is thinking, and that's a good sign.
Yes, a very good sign indeed. And look at Shannon Gabriel. I mean, he's bowling pretty sharp. Got 20 wickets against Sri Lanka. I mean, continuing to do extremely well. So we got one fast bowler who was, performing pretty well, and he's got some pretty good support. You know, Kemal Roach, as you know well, has come back, and so therefore, in terms of the bowling in Test cricket, doesn't look bad at all, Ronnie.
Yeah, like I've said before, I think we should be leaving grass in the pitches for 3 years ago when it comes to the teams that we're playing the Asian team.
Mm-hmm.
But like you rightfully pointed out, Shannon has been bowling pretty good for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good to see Kimura coming back and playing, but not only playing, but being successful.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll be able to get the other young fast bowlers to follow in their footsteps and put a good bowling group together, and hopefully be able to compete and win test matches.
And Jason Nold is doing pretty well with bat and ball.
Yes, he is. I'm very happy for him. I knew he came under some pressure a little while ago. There were question marks, but it's really good that he's coming into his own, and I just wish him continued success.
Now, in terms of, before we go, Ronnie, we'll let you go pretty soon. We just got another 2 or 3 minutes left in the show. The T20, I mean, you must be a little bit worried. I mean, Bangladesh beating the West Indies, that would have surprised us. Charles Brathwaite, he came under the microscope on this program this evening. What do you think about him as a cricketer and as a captain?
I mean, since the World Cup, I haven't really seen him perform, but nevertheless, I think Carlos is a wonderful player. The thing that he needs to ensure that he can be a little more consistent. Obviously, I think in this T20 format, it's not easy to be performing consistently.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with his ability and the sort of stuff that he does, I think he would be able to bounce back. I see no reason why that won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to ensure that we support him.
Indeed.
And trying to stop, you know, crying out and complaining about these guys. You just got to ensure that we support them. And I'm sure Carlos will bounce up.
Indeed. And just before we go, Ronnie, what are you doing nowadays? I know you're the assistant manager at Talawas. Are you involved in cricket anyway in Florida or in Guyana? Or are you just playing with your two lovely kids?
Well, it's three, buddy.
There's three. Four. You're very active then, Ronnie.
Yeah, I've got a lot of back in your problem.
So, do you want two girls in the boat? What do you want? How many?
No, it's one girl and two boys.
Okay. Any interest? How old is your son?
Well, my daughter is 2, my second son is 3, and my eldest is 4.
Okay. Is he interested in cricket?
No, not at the moment, but probably another year or two, I'll try and see if I can get him to play.
Mm.
But most importantly, I want him to go to school.
Indeed, yes.
If he wants to play sports, that's fine.
Indeed.
But
well,
school is priority.
School is important. And you now live in Florida, is that right? Or you between Florida and Guyana?
I told you this about 2 months ago. I haven't moved back to Guyana.
how is the Star One Mall going?
Everything is going fine. So far, so good. I'm grateful for that. So hopefully, we'll continue that
way. All right, Ronnie, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Forgive me for getting into your business, but you know I do that sometimes.
That's okay.
All right.
More than welcome. Friends can do that.
All right. Yeah, indeed. Thanks to Ronnie Sawan. I thought we had a pretty good show tonight. I'm sure Strikers Tenantry will be happy. We had about 25 million calls. Ronnie Clark is happy about that as the executive producer. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford, for coming through and talking to us. Of course, thanks to you, Pearson. We had Sir Curtly Ambrose, Roland Holder.
Vivi is the name, cricket is the game, but I don't know how he could play cricket so, but his batting, bowling, feeling, catching is breathtaking. Sometimes I just wonder if he's a next lover's in the making. That man Richard could really bat, it's something to see him and the attack, plundering bowlers again and again.